Let us pray. God, we thank you and praise you for this opportunity to come together with you, to worship you. And Lord, we ask in Jesus' name that as we continue to worship you, you would speak to our hearts and minds. God, that you would cause us to hear your still small voice. Lord, and I ask in Jesus' name that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart would be pleasing to you, my rock and my Savior. Amen. Now, without looking at the front of your bulletin, see, everyone starts grabbing their bulletin, right? Without looking at the front of your bulletin, what Sunday of Easter is this in the calendar year? What Sunday of Easter is this in the calendar year? The third. So you can see on the front of your bulletin, it says the third Sunday of Easter. You can look if you don't believe me, but it does say that. I imagine the disciples were in their glory at this point in time after Easter, because Jesus, whom they thought had died, had actually risen from the dead 3 days later. And as he rose from the dead, he brought back into their lives hope. Hope. Showing that God indeed had power even over life itself. And just as significant, the acts of healing that Jesus performed, indeed done in God's name by the power of the Holy Spirit, were done not by demons, as some of the Pharisees had suggested. And equally as important was how Jesus taught, but all that Jesus taught while he walked with the disciples for those three short years was not only important, but was how Jesus wanted his followers to order their lives. And for one of Jesus's many teachings, he and his followers had possibly spotted one of those religious leaders on a street corner lifting a prayer up to God. You know, something like this: "Oh God in heaven and earth, I shout your praises, praise your holy name. You have blessed me with all I have here on earth. I thank you. I thank you that you have made me me." And not like some of those others who failed to be as attentive to you as I am. Help them, Lord, to change, to become more like me. And on and on and on it goes. You see, Jesus used what he saw of these religious leaders on a street corner praying to give his followers a beginning lesson on what really prayer was. And when you pray, read it with me. "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. The teacher has called the class to order. Class, let us begin our 100 lesson on prayer." Now let's look at that first phrase, when you pray. When you pray. Growing up, have you ever been at recess or on the playground or just with a bunch of kids who have decided to play a game of ball? Some kind of ball, it doesn't matter which one. But then someone says, "Who's going to be on whose team?" And so what's chosen next? The captains, right? The captains are usually the two oldest or most respected kids, and they then start to choose people to be on their team. Now, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I was never the first player chosen. In fact, anxiety would begin to well up. Maybe you understand what I'm talking about. It would well up inside of me wondering if I'd get chosen last or if I'd get chosen at all. "Okay, listen, I'll take Sally and you can have Paul." When we played, of course, I would do my best to play wherever I was, at whatever I was doing. But the point is that I was participating. Whew, it was good to participate. Of course, prayer is not a game. Yet God does choose us to be on his team. God does say, or God does not say, let's see, Jeff, Joyce, let's see, Pat, Teresa, let's see, Gary, Andrea, John, let's see, Don, you can be on my team. As if these are the only people that count. No, God says, I pick all of you to be on my team and to participate with me in prayer. And no, prayer is not a game, but it is part of the battle between God and the forces of evil in this world that would rather see us fail, that would rather see us drop out or not even play altogether. And it's not a game where only some people can be the star players, although sometimes we think, man, those Christians, man, they're star players. I wish I could be like them. No, it's not like that. Yes, prayer is a part of the game of life where we can all equally play well if we're willing to learn just how to pray. Not just how to pray, but to learn how to pray so that when you pray, we will pray what God desires us to pray. We'll pray powerful prayers. They will be effective prayers in a way that we are certain will impact life in this world. Wouldn't you like to know that your prayers can make an impact not only in your own life, but in the lives of others? Not only in the lives of others around us, but in the lives of others around the world? Wouldn't you want that kind of prayer life? So when we pray is an invitation to all God's created beings to participate in communicating with God about life. So when we pray, when? Isn't it amazing that the God of the universe wants us to pray? Maybe that's not the right way. Isn't it that God of the universe wants us to talk to him? Well, it's more than just talk to him. Isn't it amazing that the God who created all that you see, all that is seen, all that is unseen, not only wants us to talk to him, but God wants to talk back to us? Isn't that amazing? I mean, you could chew on that one for the rest of your life. How could God, who created everything, want to talk to me? You see, God desires for us to speak to him in our moments of gladness and in our moments of sadness and every moment in between. Listen, maybe at times you say, like many who either seldom or never pray, not that I'm saying you seldom or never pray, but maybe there are times in your lives when you say, why would God want me to pray at all? I've been distant at best most of my life, and when I do talk to God, it's mostly for my own selfish needs. Remember the Israelites in the Old Testament? They had gotten away from God. No, not just gotten away from God. They chose to stray from God. Not just once, but time after time after time after time. And again, they would stray from God. And as a result, God allowed them to be put into or placed into captivity by another nation, removed from their land that God had promised them. Now, in my mind, after countless times of straying from God, choosing to worship idols, not for me, I'm sorry, I don't choose to worship idols. Now, for the Israelites, after countless times of straying from God, choosing to worship idols, choosing to live life on their own terms instead of God's way, saying to themselves words that are maybe familiar to you and me today, if I want it, I'm going to take it, whether it's mine or not. Or the more money I make, the more safe I'll be, the better off I'll be. Hey, I'm pretty special, not like those other knuckleheads that I hang out with. You know, God should have just said to those Israelites and to those who pray that way, I'm done with these people. It's a lost cause. But instead, God says to the people who are in captivity and in bondage these words, let's go back. Say them with me. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me. When you seek me with all your heart, I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back from captivity. Friends, we need to always remember, no matter how far you may seem from God, when you call on God, He will listen. He will hear. When you come and pray to me, God says, I will listen. When you seek God with all your heart, you will find God. Prayer is and always will be an invitation to connect with the God of the universe when you pray. When you pray. So I would say that prayer is a really serious matter between us and God, wouldn't you? I mean, I think it is. It's a serious matter. Prayer is one of those major means by which God has provided for us a way to connect with God in heaven. And our ability to have this means available is because Jesus willingly suffered and died for us. He being the perfect sacrifice that we might no longer have to bring sacrifices to a priest who will connect us to God. A high price was paid for you and me for this opportunity to connect with God. So that when we pray, God would be attentive to us. Now, let's go back for a moment to Jesus' 100 level teaching on prayer. And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites. For they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. So when you pray, Jesus is telling us not to pray like who? Hypocrites. The Greek term for hypocrites, if you remember from the PowerPoint before service in the Bible trivia, is a hypocrite is an actor or a stage player. A hypocrite is an actor or a stage player. So when you go to the theaters, you're watching a bunch of hypocrites. You see, a hypocrite is one who puts a false face on and plays out a role, so that what you are seeing is not a reflection of who they really are. In this case, the hypocrite who prays on the street corner is not truly setting an example for God, how God wants us to pray. It's not about being seen. It's not about eloquent words. It's about conveying what's in your heart and in your mind to God, and then listening for what is in God's heart and in what's in God's mind for you. And when you pray with a sincere heart, God hears you. Especially when it comes pouring forth in a stream of words in which no two words make sense together. God listens to our words, but more importantly, God listens to our hearts. Doesn't that thrill you? That God listens to our hearts? I guess I cannot stress how awesome it feels, how awesome it is to know that the God of the universe, the creator of all that is seen and unseen, cares enough for each one of us to want to listen to us. If you remember from last week, I spoke about a woman named Betty, a woman who has been praying for my family and I for the last 30 years. 30 years. This is a large number, isn't it? Sometimes it's hard to pray for one thing for 30 days or 30 minutes, and for some of us, even 30 seconds. Betty is a woman of prayer, and if you remember, I told you, she listens to God and prays to God, listens to God through His Word and speaks to God each day for at least, if not more than, 3 hours a day. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine it for Betty? Praying 3 hours a day. They did a spot on TV4 News probably 20 years ago on this woman. reading and praying her Bible, reading and praying. She would sit and read, and then she would get down and kneel and pray and sit and read and back and forth. And it's just a life for her. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine that for you? Listening to God in His Word as He speaks to you, responding to God about what He's spoken to you about. Can you imagine that in your own life? And maybe it's not for 3 hours. Maybe it's for 30 minutes. Maybe it's for 3 minutes to start. But it is possible. Can you imagine in your own life? After we spoke on the phone a couple weeks ago, you'd have thought, me being the pastor and all, I would have said, Betty, let us pray together now. Oh, not Betty. She took the lead, and this 80-plus-year-old woman sounded like she was talking to her father, who just happens to reside in heaven, as if he was in the chair next to her. She didn't need to stand on a street corner with her arms extended high and in a loud voice call out her prayer to God. No, when she prayed, you could tell by listening to her that the depth of her relationship with God was really deep. A relationship that had been developed over years and years, hours and hours of prayer spent with God. My friends, prayer time doesn't have to be or need to be some grueling or strenuous exercise we're forced to endure each day. It should be more along the lines of a divine appointment that you look forward to each day with God. A quiet cup of coffee or tea with God, and a wonderful conversation. It's like the other day I had an appointment up in Flint, and a pastor friend of mine was also going to the same meeting, so he stopped by the office, we chit-chatted for a few minutes, greeted each other, and then off we went to Flint. We talked all the way up, chatting about life. We talked about families, about you, and what an absolute delight it has been to be your pastor. Okay, not so much about you in particular, but more about the church in general, what God is doing in the church, what God is trying to do in the church. And before you knew it, we were there and back again. Like time had flown. I took another trip with some people I didn't know very well. We greeted each other and we began our trip, and the conversation was more one-sided. You see, one person had the gift of gab. Oh, yeah. I was wondering how they were able to take in oxygen. The other passenger and I hardly spoke the whole time, and when we did say something, I don't think this person heard it at all. It was a longer trip. On the third trip I took, there were several other people I didn't really know at all. And you'll understand what I'm saying. The conversation, if there was any, was very surfacey. It was about things like weather and such. And it didn't help that we were all from different ethnic nationalities. And their English was very, very broken. So for the most part, we sat in each other's presence, but really didn't talk to each other. You see, these are the three various scenarios people fall into with God. Like Betty, there are some people who have that divine appointment where they talk back and forth to God and have a delightful conversation, and time just flies by. Like others, we just talk and talk to God, and when we're done talking to God and when we're done, we have not given God any time to speak to us, and we've really not even tried to listen to God. And then for some, we feel completely like we're speaking different languages. I don't understand God or what He wants to say to me, and I don't think God understands me, and what I say makes no difference at all. It's a challenge for us, isn't it? To move from one kind of prayer life to another. Can you imagine? Can you imagine spending 30 minutes? Can you imagine spending an hour in prayer with God every day? So the challenge for this week, for us in prayer, is I want you to take this card, this examine card. Does everyone have one? If you don't have one, the ushers will have some more. This examine card is really an ancient practice of prayer called the examine, and it's a prayer that you can do at the end of the day. The Jesuit priests would do this prayer twice a day, and it's simply this. If you turn it over to the other side, the first thing you want to do is ask God for light. Ask God for light. I want to look at my day with God's eyes, not merely my own. So we want to see how God has looked upon us during our day. Number two, spend time giving thanks to God for the things that went well during your day. As you go through your day, as you examine your day, give God thanks. Give God praise for the things that went well, for the areas where you did see, now that you look back, God's hand in your life. And then number three, review the day. I carefully look back on the day just completed, being guided by the Holy Spirit. And this is where it gets a little rougher. You want to begin to ask God, Lord, as I look at my life, what are the things that didn't go so well? What are the things that I did where I kind of ignored you? Or what are the things that I did where I hurt somebody else, or I sinned against you, or I disobeyed how you want me to live for my life? Maybe, where are the places in my life, Lord, I could have talked with you a little bit more? And number four then, face the shortcomings. Face what went wrong in your life, in and near you, and then simply ask for God to forgive you. It's that simple, to forgive you. And then the fifth step is to look for the day to come. Look at the day to come. You can put this in your Bible or in your prayer room or in your nightstand or on your mirror so that you will make it a regular practice. This practice that has existed for thousands of years to begin to make an impact in your life on prayer. Finally, listen to these words of Jesus. He says, if you have faith and do not doubt, you can cast mountains into the sea. Oh, wow. A mountain into the sea, Lord? Yeah, right. Jesus says, when you pray, your Father will be glorified in the Son. We give glory to God when we pray. When you pray, Jesus says, your joy will be complete. Not around the corner, not somewhere in the distant, not near to you. It will be complete. When we pray, mountains can be moved. Maybe not the physical mountain, but maybe mountains in our lives that seem we can't get over them. We can't get through them or around them. But God can. When we pray. And the Father will be glorified. And your joy will be complete. Who doesn't want joy? Raise your hand. We don't want to float through life, friends. We don't want to float through life like the girl in that video, missing out on different opportunities to pray, to connect with God, to connect with the God of the universe who wants to speak into our lives, who wants to hear from us. We don't want to be like that, and yet we do. So take the time to do the examine, to make it a point of adding something into your life that will make a difference, so that you don't miss chances to pray, so that your life can become more of a life of prayer. Who doesn't want that? Let us pray. God, I can't begin to imagine sometimes what you can do beyond what I can see. Lord, give us a vision. Lord, give us a vision of what it would be like to have a deeper prayer life. to spend more intentional time with you in the Word, through prayer. Lord, give us a vision of us growing closer to you, of our prayers moving mountains, not only in our lives, but in the lives of others. Give us a vision, Lord, of what it's like to experience complete joy as we spend time with you over that divine appointment. And remind us, Lord, that it only happens when we pray. Lord, draw us closer. May all glory and honor be yours. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said,